since I recoil from it like a hot flame. It's almost like, oh, no, thank you. I'm not running from bars and clubs and freaking out. I see alcohol and go, oh, my God, I can't drink. Oh, I'm just like, no. It doesn't play a role anymore. Alcohol is no longer the solution. I'm no longer restless, irritable, and discontent. I don't need relief. I have it. I am it. Don't need relief. Relief from what? I am comfortable in my own skin. My head is not out to get me. I'm chilling. Chilling out. It's all good. And it gets better because it says it's a lifelong thing. I continue to practice this and it gets better and better and better. No big deals. Whatever, man. You know how many joints I smoked trying to get there? You know how long I was using everything possible to come to that real, serene, whatever, man? That's all I ever wanted to be. Whatever. It's all good, you know. I finally got it. In the steps. Better than any joint, pill, drink, or anything. Better than anything. Whatever, man. It's all good. Even in the mistakes that I make, even in the errors that I don't get, even in the areas that I haven't been able to work on, it's okay. More work to do. That's some unresolved stuff. Oh my, what do you know? I thought we've worked on that. Perhaps not. Yes. Really? Who says? You? That's not what it tells me here. That's not what it tells me. Yeah. Because I start learning if I'm living life on life terms, people die. And you know what? I get to grieve and nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with that? I'm sad. You die. I love you. I miss you. No big deals, man. I get to be sad. Nothing wrong with that. See what I'm saying? That's not even a big deal. Or you die and I don't cry. That's not a big deal either. Obviously, I'm not feeling like crying. You see, all of a sudden, I got a different perspective on life. Somebody is born. Wow, that's a beautiful thing. I get to embrace that experience. I have a job. I lose a job. I got money. I don't have money. Relationship? No relationship. I start learning. Life's in session. Things happen. And it is what it is. Okay. I'm not alone. We get to go through this. Things I'm going to do gracefully, and then some things I'm going to do pretty ugly. And that's okay, too. Yes?
My favorite term director usually says, grieve it, and then move on.
Grieve it, and then move on. No big deals. You know what? And I'm not trying to sound like all of a sudden I'm floating on a cloud. Don't become Buddha. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. You know what I'm saying? It depends on the area, but it's all good. As long as I'm in movement, I'm in action, it's all good. It's when I'm not in action, I'm not in movement, where it gets scary. But in 10, it tells me that. It says it just comes. This is the miracle. I'm not fighting it. Neither am I avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It doesn't exist for us. That's how we recovered. The problem is removed. Doesn't exist for me. Does that mean I'm not an alcoholic? No. I'm not tripping. Now and then when the thought comes, it goes, ooh, you should have a drink. I'll be like, where'd that come from? Oh, you're still hanging out, huh? I thought you left, but you're still lurking around the corners. I'm not like, oh my God, I got a drink. I'm not doing that.
You write your
Did I write it? Yes.
Inventory.
Yeah, I didn't email it. I didn't type it. I didn't put it on a tape. It says rewrite it with a pen and a paper.
But these resentments, God, I've got, I have to do this, God, I've got resentment act. And then I write an inventory. And And then I ask God to remove my...
Your defects?
Yes.
Is that the direction your sponsor gave you?
Yes.
Do what your sponsor tell you to do.
But I didn't find it in here.
To write?
I didn't find it in the
Bible. Yeah, it says to write it down. We put this all down on paper. Go back to it, and where it says about the inventory, it says we all put this down on paper. We put this down on paper.
On a daily basis.
On a daily basis? No. You're doing a tenth on a daily basis?
I write.
An 11?
In the 10, 11.
In 10, I'm not writing. In 10, I'm having an experience. People get those a little confused. I'm going to sum this up. In 10, I'm having an experience. I'm watching. I'm in a place of neutrality. Drinking problem is removed. I'm not fighting anything or anybody. I'm just kind of going through this. I'm having an experience in 10 is what I'm doing in 10. 10 is all about an experience. It says, as long as I keep in fit spiritual condition, I can't let up in this spiritual program of action. I can't rest on my laurels. I'm headed for trouble if I do. Alcohol is a subtle foe. We're not cured of alcoholism. What we have is a daily reprieve continued upon our maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will be done, not mine. These are the thoughts that must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along the line as long as we wish. It is the proper use of our will. Much has already been said about receiving strength, inspiration, and direction from Him who has all knowledge and power. If we have carefully followed directions, we have begun to sense the flow of His Spirit into us. To some extent, we have become God-conscious. We have begun to develop the vital sixth sense, but we must go further, and that means more action. So I'm actually now experiencing God in 10. You busy tripping on 3? Don't. I don't really get to find out this higher power thing until 10. It's an experience. 11, we're running out of time, I'm going to go quickly. 11 says prayer and meditation. Prayer is that I actually do a prayer. It says I can choose any kind of prayer, whatever way in which I want to. But the meditation part is that I ask myself some questions before I go to bed at night and when I wake up in the morning. That's meditation. I need to listen to my thoughts. Most of you think meditation is to go completely blank. Nothing tells me that here. I don't go blank. I ask myself some questions. I stay still long enough and I listen to myself. That's what I do in 11. Before I go to bed and when I wake up at night. What could I have done differently? Did I harm anybody today? Did I address something? Is anything unresolved that I didn't really look at, that I need to look at? What are the good things? In the 12 and 12, it also talks about my assets and liabilities. Hey, what did you do good today? What did you do? I don't beat up on myself. It says, be careful not to be so morbid. We know how to beat up on ourselves. We're just so sadistic like that. We ask God to show me what I can do differently and what I could do better. On awakening, I review my day. I review my plans and go, this is what I was thinking about doing today. What you think? Are we going to do that today? What are we doing today? Where are we going? Later on, it says, as we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and we ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves that we are no longer running the show. Humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become more and more effective. We do not tire so easily, for we're not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. So that's my little gauge and point of reference I tell people. If you're walking around angry, excitement, fear, worry, self-pity, and making foolish decisions, something ain't right. Mm-hmm. It's 88, the last of that paragraph. Mm-hmm. We are in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. I'm much more effective. We don't tire so easily. People ask me, why are you not so tired? Why aren't you tired? Where do you get this energy from? Are you always this happy? Yeah, because that's what it tells me right here. And when I'm not, it's because I am not doing something. And that's okay, too. I'm probably holding on to something. I'm pissed off about something. I haven't talked to anybody about it. I haven't addressed it. I'm tired. I'm not as effective. I got nothing to give you. I'm exhausted. I'm just busy being angry. I used to hear, don't get too hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. But that's my gauge. When I'm angry and worrying, I'm like, I got some cleaning house to do. I'm putting some more caca in the toilet bowl. It says, we alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is devoted to step 12. And unfortunately, I didn't get to do 12, but 12 is pretty clear. What I love about step 12 in the book is they talk a lot about 12-step calls. A lot about 12-step calls and really working with the wet ones and how we deal with them. Today, you have a lot more people coming into the rooms from treatment facilities, coming in because they're familiar with Alcoholics Anonymous. There's not a lot of 12-step calls we're doing these days, it seems, at least for us. But being able to go out and help another drunk, wherever you can find them. It talks about in here, go to sanitariums, go to hospitals so you can see them. Sit by their bedside. Your phone's going to be ringing all night long. You may have a burnt up mattress and all that stuff they start talking about in there. But what happens as a result of these steps? As a result of these steps, I've had a spiritual experience, a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. And I must carry that message. I must. I'm so excited. How can I not carry the message? I trip out on people. How could I not carry this message? The message. What is the message? That a miracle has just happened. A drunk like me is not drinking today. A drunk like me wakes up in the morning and goes, what can I contribute to life? She's excited of how I can be of service and how I can help others and what I can do for you. That is amazing to me. I gotta share it with you. I gotta give you the same hope that was given to me. I gotta share with you. I gotta sweep the floor and put up the chair and show up early and help with the coffee and put out the literature. I have to. Because you did it for me. You did it for me. When I came in the room, there was a chair. Somebody set up that chair. My sponsor told me that early. If you walking around here, going to meetings, still looking for a chair to be there, something ain't right. Something ain't right. You're arrogant. And selfish, she would tell me. How dare you go to a meeting looking for something? You better go to that meeting and give back. After my first year, honeymoon was over. You better go to that meeting and stand at the door and greet somebody and say how you're doing today. Because somebody did that for you. How can I not do that? I don't even know how. It makes me want to, I don't even know how not to do it. It trips me out. I don't even know how not to do that.
How long was the honeymoon, did you say?
I had a year. Okay. That was it. Year was up. Bye-bye, baby girl. You ain't a baby no more. Let's go. You show up. You start giving back. Because that's really where I'm going to find my recovery. Where it really blooms for me is working with others. Yeah. I tell people, you think we just remember the pages? Like I sat around and memorized this? You know what happens after talking to 30, 40 people reading the same daggone page over and over again? You remember. And just recently, my sponsor, I said, they told me I have too many sponsees. You think I got too many? And she said, you're only sponsoring one.
Oh, that's good.
And I said, what do you mean I'm only sponsoring one? I got like 30 sponsees. Don't you think it's too many of them? She said, you're only sponsoring one. And I didn't quite get what she was saying. And I learned from my sponsor. More and more is revealed. I don't need to know everything every time she says it. When I need to know it, I'm sure it'll reveal itself. It wasn't until later on, she was sharing with another sponsee. And then she said to me, did you get what I told you? I said, no, I sure didn't, but it's all right. I know that I didn't hear you say, yes, get rid of them. I didn't hear that. And she said, you're only sponsoring one, which is you. Everybody that you talk to, every page that you turn, every hand that you extend to, every hug that you give, you're giving it to yourself. Because that's what Bill learned. If I don't talk to another drunk, I'm going to get drunk. These are not charity cases. I'm not on mission and I'm not about to reform you. What I'm here to do is for me to stay sober. That as I carry the message, I get excited. I remember. This information is reinforced for me to know, for me to understand, for me to get. And if it just so happens that you get it too, oh my goodness, God is so good. But I know I'm staying sober today. If nobody's staying sober here today, I know I am. Because this stuff was intense. This was beautiful. Most of the time, I'm like, did you hear that? Did you get that? Oh, my God. The steps work. I hope I didn't insult anybody's intelligence. Sometimes I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. If you've done the steps and you've working through them in your life, we never, like, not know anything. I mean, always know everything. It's nice to be reinforced, to hear somebody else's experience, to continue to work them, to learn them, to embrace them. It sounds to me that most of your questions had a lot to do with a relationship with a higher power. Had a lot to do with that. And if that's what blocks you, then the only suggestion I give you is to just take the suggestion that Bill, that Ebby gave Bill, which was just to have an open mind to the possibility and be willing. And don't let that block you. I think that's a choice that you have if you want to continue to debate that, to rationalize that, to fight with that. I think that's a choice. And it's a choice to let the disease win, and I'm not going to do it. Real quick, yes, we've got to end.
For the second part of step 12, and I'm finding it difficult to tell the difference between what's good business practice and what's really self-seeking and over-ambition and dishonesty.
What's good business practice? What business?
Where I work. What's...
You work in a treatment facility?
No, the difference between... trying to make money and being over ambitious and dishonest and self-seeking. I can't easily see the line.
No, you can't, but God can. Isn't that hard? No, you can't, but God can. If I say, God, is this where you want me to work? Is this what you want me to do? Remove from me those things, selfish, greed, self-centeredness. Take that away from me. Where would you have me be and what would you have me do? And how can I show up and be of maximum service to you and your children? And then see what happens. And each and every day that I show up, I go, okay, God, you're on. This is your gig. Is this where you want us to go? Is this what you want us to do? That's not so easy, eh? That takes practice. It'll be okay. I met my higher power. I know we got to end, but I met my higher power, truly met my higher power in my fifth year of sobriety. Butt naked, alone, with a white flag up my ass. I lost everything. I was sleeping in a car. Yep. I lost the house, the weeping willow tree, the car, the things, gone. 5 years sober. I don't even remember it being that bad when I was drinking. And I used to go to meetings and I said, if you tell me this too shall pass one more time, I'm going to punch you in the face. And this woman came up to me and said, Teresa, sometimes we got to meet God naked and alone. And I held on to that. And they told me, you don't take a drink. And I didn't. And I put one hand in God and I put one hand in this program. And till this day, I have not been confused since who's running the show in my life. it has not been the same since then. It has not been the same. I got two things I want to share with you that I love sharing with people. One is, this is how I spend my day, which leads to that. This is how I spend my day. I say I want to buy a blouse. I feel like buying a blouse today. I get ready to go, but the phone rings. And so I pick up the phone and I am present for that phone conversation. I'm not tapping my foot saying I got things to do. I want to go buy a blouse. I'm listening to Wendy. And I am present for Wendy. And I am of service. I hang up the phone. I get ready to go. And someone comes to my door. They come in and I go sit down. And I am present for that conversation. They get ready to go. They said, hey, before I got here, where were you going? I said, oh, I was going to buy a blouse. They said, I'll go with you. I said, okay. We get ready to leave. We start pulling out and four people will walk into my house. She goes, I think they're going to your house. I go, oh, I'll park the car. We park the car. They come in my house. I sit down and I am of service and I am present for the conversation. At the end of the day, someone shows up, knocks on my door, and says, I was at the store, I saw this blouse, and I thought of you. That's how I live my day. You know, the miracle of that story is not the shirt showing up, because that used to happen a lot. I just wasn't paying attention. That I was present for that conversation. I was present for that conversation. That's the miracle in that story. That's how I live my days. I'm not confused who's running the show. I'm in Sweden. That's amazing to me. With no money. I got minus in my bank account. And I got new clothes. I haven't gone without eating. I got clothes to keep me warm. I've arrived with people who love me and I'm safe. I'm staying somewhere safe and warm. I'm in a country that I don't really know nothing or nobody or where I'm going, and I'm being driven everywhere I gotta go. And I'm not worried about any of it. I couldn't have planned this any better. And I didn't figure this out and I didn't demand for the way it needed to be or how it needed to be or the way I wanted it to be. I just showed up. So taken care of. And one more thing I'm going to end with. This man asked me some time ago, he said, Teresa, tell me about your dash. I love this one.
Dash.
Tell me about your dash. That's what I said.
No, back dash.
That's what I said. What's a dash? I said, what is that dash? What do you mean dash? He says, on your tombstone, there is the date you're born and the date that you died. And in between, there's a dash. Oh. The dash signifies your life. If you were to die right now, this moment, what would somebody say about your dash? See, the interesting thing is I don't know the ending date. It is arrogant for me to believe that I'm going to have it for a long time. For I can die at any moment. So that means for every moment of my day, I am contributing to that dash. This program has taught me to stop telling God how big my storm is and start telling the storm how big my God is. But I think about if 19 years ago, what my dash would have looked like if I would have died. People would have said, it's about time. Ooh, I can finally get some rest. Oh, what a relief. Ooh, it's such a shame. That's what people would have said about my dash. Today, you know what people would say about my dash today? If I was to die right now, this moment, I cannot begin to tell you what people would say about my dash. Huge! Huge! She was kind and giving and compassionate and gentle and loving. Oh, what a wonderful aunt! Oh, she loved those boys so much! Oh, what a great daughter! My mother and my father are so proud of you. Oh, they were so proud. You lived a long life, a great life, a big life. Oh, you've done so much. Oh, you're going to be so missed. Oh, we're going to miss you. Isn't that something? She was sober. She was happy. She was full. She was whole. She was complete. She was a lady. She was beautiful. My dash. And you know when you die, nobody talks about what you have? When people die, they don't talk about the car you were driving or the house that you lived in or the job that you had or the money that you were making. They talk about your character. I've had a big house. And people still said, what a shame. Today I live in an apartment with no money in my bank account. And all my dash looks so pretty. So you ask yourself that. What about your dash? And there's one thing I'm not confused about, and I hope you aren't. A, that I am truly an alcoholic. And B, I cannot do this alone. That I must tap into this source of power. And that's what helps me to contribute to such a beautiful dash. Because I within myself am nothing. I appreciate you guys so much. I know that I've learned much. I wish I could give you more. I wish we had more time to spend with each other. And that I didn't have to just quickly go through the steps as we have. If just one person got something, I've done what I came out here for. My life is not in vain, yeah? This program works, and I want you to know that we don't have to do it perfectly. I don't ever want to give the impression that I do this thing perfectly, and y'all could just go out there and be like, hey, Teresa got to go. I don't ever want to give that impression. I'm just another drunk. If I can do it, you can do it. I've just been dedicated. I've been hungry. I don't want what I have, so I've been doing this thing. And Bill and Dr. Bob are no longer here. We are. We are. For today, I am responsible. I am accountable. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's why I do it. I'm responsible. Because somebody did it for me. So now that somebody's done it for you, you now need to give it to somebody else. You don't get to keep it. We don't just get to hold on to it and keep it. And I hear people say, oh, I got a life outside of AA. I don't have no life outside of AA. I have a life because of AA. Alcoholics Anonymous is not a recreation, pastime, after effect. This is my life. I do it passionately, enthusiastically. I implore you. I don't care what country you're in. You're a drunk like me. You struggle with understanding a higher power like me. So did I. So what? So what? Who cares? Are you tired of the life that you have? Then join us. This program has worked in 90 countries. You ain't no different. I am so privileged for Jay to have me to come out and have this experience with you. I hope that one day I can come back and it's warmer. But I thank you. Tomorrow we're going to have some fellowship and fun, I think, somewhere and do something. I don't know. Everybody signed up for something over there?
Yeah, me too.
Right. Okay, she's going to do a seven tradition real quick. Oh, there you go, Amber. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And give yourselves a hand for being here. Oh, is this a box thing? Oh, thank you. Nice. And let's God a hand. Yay! Thank you.